I've noticed many times that God tries certain people on account of those things about which we spoke to me. For mistrust displeases Jesus. Once when I saw that God had tried a certain archbishop because he was opposed to the cause and distrustful of it, I felt sorry for him and prayed for God with God for him, and God relieved his suffering. God is very displeased with lack of trust in him. And this is why some souls lose many graces. Distrust hurts his most sweet heart, which is full of goodness and incomprehensible love for us. A priest should sometimes be distrustful in order to better ascertain the genuineness of gifts bestowed on a given soul. When he does so, in order to direct the soul to deeper union with God, his will be a great and incomprehensible reward indeed. But there's a great difference between this and disrespect and distrust of divine graces in a soul, simply because one cannot comprehend and penetrate these things with one's mind. And this letter is displeasing to God. I greatly pity souls who encounter inexperienced priests. So there's a difference. You have to discern whether a person got the inspiration for God. Of course, you have to keep a certain extent of, you know, not distrustful, but to check out whether it's true or not. But some priests, no matter how certain, just the same as in operation. In Medjugorje, for example, some people say, absolutely not. But some say, oh, let me wait, let us see. Many bishops in this way, they never say sure, but they never say no, but they just check. It's more important, not in the very beginning, no, you stop the grace. You know? If yes, what about yes? And then you lose the grace, isn't it? So we have to be prudent. Once a certain priest, Father Sopoko, asked me to pray for him. I promised to pray. And I asked for a mortification. I didn't read that. When I received permission for a certain mortification, I felt a great desire to give up all the graces that God's goodness would intend for me that day in favor of that priest. And I asked the Lord Jesus to die, to bestow on me all the sufferings and afflictions, both exterior and spiritual, that the priest would have had to suffer during that day. God partially answered my request, and at once all sorts of difficulties and adversities sprang up out of nowhere. So much so that one of the sisters remarked out loud that the Lord Jesus must have a hand in this, because everyone was trying Sister Faustina. So she wants to say yes, they accept all the sufferings. So suddenly, sufferings go to her. The charges made were so groundless that what some sisters put forward, others denied, while I offered all this in silence on behalf of the priest. Of nowhere, just suffer. But that was not all. I began to experience interior sufferings. First, I was seized by depression and aversion towards the sisters. Then a kind of uncertainty began to trouble me. I could not recollect myself during prayer, and various things would take hold of my mind. When tired out, I entered the chapel. A strange pain seized my soul and began to weep softly. You know, when suffering comes in, we don't know how to take it. Depressed, she cried. The voice, my daughter, why are you weeping? After all, you yourself offer to undertake these sufferings. Know that what you have taken upon yourself for that soul is only a small portion. He is suffering much more. And I asked the Lord, why are you treating me, treating him like this, like that? The Lord answered me that it was for the triple crown meant for him, that of virginity, the priesthood, and martyrdom. At that moment, a great joy flooded my soul at the sight of the great glory that is going to be his in heaven for Father Sopoko. Right away, I said the Te Deum for this special grace of God, namely of learning how God treats those who intends to have close to him. Thus, all sufferings are nothing in comparison with what awaits us in heaven. One day after our Mass, I suddenly saw my confessor, Father Sopoko, sing Mass in St. Michael's Church in front of the picture of the Mother of God. It was at the time of the offertory, and I saw the infant Jesus, clinging to him as if fleeing from something and seeking refuge in him. But when the time came for Holy Communion, he disappeared as usual. Suddenly, I saw the Blessed Mother, who shielded him with her cloak and said, "Courageous, my son, courage." She said something else which I could not hear. Oh, how ardently I desired that every soul would praise your mercy. Happy is the soul that calls upon the mercy of the Lord. It will see that the Lord will defend it as his glory, as he said. And who would dare fight against God? All you souls, praise the Lord's mercy by trusting in his mercy all your life, and especially at the hour of your death. And fear nothing, dear soul. Wherever you are, the greater the sinner, the greater his right to your mercy, O Lord. O incomprehensible God, goodness, God is the first to stoop to the sinner. O Jesus, I wish to glorify your mercy on behalf of thousands of souls. I know very well, O my Jesus, that I am to keep telling souls about your goodness, about your incomprehensible mercy. On one occasion, after a person had asked me for prayer, when I met the Lord, I said to him, "Jesus, I especially love those souls whom you love." And Jesus answered, "And as for me, I bestow special graces on those souls for whom you intercede." So those people ask sister to pray for, and special grace for that soul. So I think, why can't we ask Sister Faustina, when whatever she asks, we're given us, no? Intercession. How wondrously Jesus defends me. Truly, this is the great grace of God, which I have experienced for a long time now. Once, one of the sisters became fatally ill, and all the community was gathered together. There was also a priest there who gave the sister absolution. We read already. Yeah. Suddenly, I saw many spirits of darkness. Then, forgetting that I was with the sisters, I seized the holy water, sprinkled the spirits, and they disappeared at once. However, when the sisters came to the refectory, Mother Superior remarked that I should not have sprinkled the sick sister in the presence of the priest. And this was his duty. I accepted the admonition in the spirit of penance. But holy water is indeed of great help to the dying. So pray for a dying person if you carry some holy water without a priest by your side. If the priest, you don't do that. I thought the superior could scold you. My Jesus, you see how weak I am of myself. Therefore, you yourself direct my affairs. I know, Jesus, that without you, I will not fight for any cause. But with you, I will take on most difficult things. January 29, 1936. In the evening, when I was in my cell, I suddenly saw a great light and a dark grey cross high up within the light. Suddenly, I found myself caught up close to the cross. I gazed at it intensely, but could not understand anything. And so I prayed, asking what it could mean. At that moment, I saw the Lord Jesus, and the cross disappeared. The Lord Jesus was sitting in a great light, and his legs up to the knees were drowned in the light so that I could not see them. Jesus bent toward me, looked at me kindly, and spoke to me about the will of the Heavenly Father. He told me that the most perfect and holy soul is the one that does the will of the Father, but there are not many such, and that he looks with special love upon the soul who lived his will. And Jesus told me that I was doing the will of God perfectly. And for this reason, I'm united myself, word of Jesus said, and for this reason, I'm united myself with you and communing with you in a special and intimate way. So we always try to do the will of God. But that moment, God is close to us. If you are not doing the right thing at the right moment, don't imagine that God is close. Yes, God is everywhere, but you don't have the heart for him because you are not in his will. Even he is by your side, you cannot experience. God embraces with his incomprehensible love the soul who lives by his will. Understood how much God loves us, how simple he is, though incomprehensible, and how easy it is to commune with him despite his great majesty. God is simple. We are complicated. With no one do I feel as free as much at ease as with him. Even a mother and a truly loving child do not understand each other so well as God and I do. Nobody understands you better than Jesus himself. Even your mother doesn't understand you, or neither you understand your child. As if you can, it's not. Jesus, he is the one. When I was in that state of communion with God, I saw two particular persons, and their sad interior condition was revealed to me. They were in a sorrowful state, but I trust that they, too, will glorify the mercy of God. At the same time, I saw a certain person, Father Sopoko, and in part, the condition of his soul and ordeals God was sending him. His sufferings were of mine and in the form of acute, so acute that I pitied him and said to the Lord, "Why do you treat him like that?" And the Lord answered, "For the sake of his triple crown." And the Lord also gave me to understand what unimaginable glory awakes the person who resembles the suffering Jesus were on earth. That person will resemble Jesus in his glory. The Heavenly Father will recognize and glorify our soul to the extent that he sees in us a resemblance of his Son. Understood that this assimilation into Jesus is granted to us while we are here on earth. I see pure innocent souls upon whom God has exercised his justice. These souls are the victims who sustain the world and who filled up what is lacking in the passion of Christ. They are not many in number. I rejoice greatly that God has allowed me to know such souls. So God chose some souls to be victim souls to offer for the sinfulness of the world. That what he says, what St. Paul says, just to to fill up what's lacking in the passion of Christ. Of course, Jesus suffered most, no? So your part, it's just a kind of taking part of his suffering. Oh, Holy Trinity, eternal God, I thank you for allowing me to know the greatness and the various degrees of glory to which souls attain. Oh, what a great difference of depth in the knowledge of God there is between one degree and another. Oh, if people could only know this, oh my God, if I were thereby able to attain one more degree, I would gladly suffer all the torments of a martyr put together. Truly, all those torments seemed as nothing to me compared with the glory that is awaiting us for all eternity. O Lord, immerse myself in the ocean of your divinity and grant me the grace of knowing you. For the better I know you, the more I desire you, and the more my love for you grows. I feel in my soul an unfathomable abyss which only God can fill. I lose myself in him as I drop dust in the water, in the ocean. The Lord has inclined himself to my misery like a ray of the sun upon a barren and rocky desert. And yet, under the influence of his rays, my soul has become covered with verdure, flowers, and fruits, and has become a beautiful garden for his repose. My Jesus, despite your graces, I see and feel all my misery. I begin my day with battle and end it with battle. Always fighting. Don't just take a rest. Against evilness, sinfulness, no rest. Always alert. Just like a fireman. Always ready. Of course, not only real fire, but you're ready. As soon as I conquered one obstacle, 10 more appear to take its place. But I'm not worried, because I know that this is a time of struggle, not peace. So this time always fighting. Don't think after one temptation and finish, 10 more. The same as Jesus, no? In the gospel he says, if one evil spirit go away, 7 more furious comes back. But always alert. But I'm not worried, because I know that this is a time of struggle, not peace. When the burden of the battle becomes too much for me, I throw myself like a child into the arms of the Heavenly Father and trust I will not perish. Oh my Jesus, how prone I am to evil, and this forces me to be constantly vigilant, but I do not lose heart. I trust God's grace, which abounds in the worst misery. In the midst of all the worst difficulties and adversities, I do not lose inner peace or exterior balance, and this discourages my adversities. Patience in adversity gives power to the soul. Patience. Don't just shout at for the first moment. Keep calm. Don't always with the feast, no. February 2nd, 1936, in the morning when the bell awoke me, I was so overcome by drowsiness, which I could not shake off, that I jumped into cold water. And after 2 minutes, the steepiness left me. When it came to meditation, a host of absurd thoughts swarmed into my head, so much so that I had to struggle throughout the whole meditation. It was the same during prayer time. But when Mass began, a strange silence and joy filled my heart. Just then, I saw Our Lady with the infant Jesus and the holy old man, St. Joseph, standing behind them. The Most Holy Mother said to me, "Take my dearest treasure," and she handed me the infant Jesus. When I took the infant Jesus in my arms, the mother of Mary and St. Joseph disappeared. I was left alone with the infant Jesus. I said to him, "I know that you are my Lord and creator, even though you are so tiny. Jesus stretched his little arms out to me and looked at me with a smile. My spirit was filled with incomparable joy. Then suddenly Jesus disappeared. It was a time for Holy Communion. I went with the other sister to Holy Table. My soul deeply moved. After Holy Communion, I heard these words in my soul. I am in your heart, I whom you had in your arms. I then pleaded with Jesus for a certain soul, Father Sopoko, asking the Lord to grant him the grace to fight and to take his trial from him. As you ask, so shall it be, but his merit will not be lessened. Joy reigns in my soul that God is so good and merciful. God grants everything that we ask of him with trust. After each conversation with the Lord, my soul is extraordinarily strengthened, and a profound tranquility prevails within and gives me such courage that I do not fear anything in the world, but fear only lest I make Jesus sad. O my Jesus, I implore you by goodness of your most sweet heart, let your anger be diminished and show us your mercy. May your wounds be our shield against our Father's justice. I have come to know you, O God, as a source of mercy that vivifies and nourishes every soul. Oh, how great is the mercy of the Lord. It surpasses all his other qualities. Mercy is the greatest attribute of God. Everything that surrounds me speaks to me of this. Mercy is the life of souls. His compassion is inexhaustible. O Lord, look on us and deal with us according to your countless mercies, according to your great mercy. One time I was in doubt as to whether what had happened to me had seriously offended the Lord Jesus, O Lord. As I could not solve this doubt, I make up my mind not to go to communion before first going to confession. Although I immediately made an act of contrition, it is my habit to ask for forgiveness after the slightest transgression. During those days when I did not receive Holy Communion, I did not feel the presence of God. This caused me unspeakable pain, but I took it as a punishment for sin. However, at the time of Holy Confession, I was reproached for not going to Holy Communion because what had happened to me was not an obstacle to receive Holy Communion. After confession, I received Holy Communion and I saw the Lord Jesus, who said to me, "Know, my daughter, that you caused me more sorrow by not uniting yourself with me in Holy Communion than you did by that small transgression." Jesus expects to be more close to us. Of course, we are always in the grace of the Lord. This is condition. But just know, I think she said to scruple. Maybe I said this thing. Maybe I thought of this wrong thing. No, I'm not worthy. Jesus prefer you going through this transgression of your soul, but come to me. So he's encouraging us. He says, give us, knowing that Jesus is always ready to be with us.